Welcome. You're listening to the Malcontent News Russia-Ukraine War Podcast, the show that cuts through the fog of war and updates you about the ongoing conflict in Ukraine. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts.
Hello, I'm Marina Yevshan, co-host of the Russia-Ukraine War Report Podcast, and today is March 4th, 2024. It has been 3,689 days since Russia started covert military operations in Crimea, 10 years and 13 days since the start of the Russia-Ukraine war, and 2 years and 10 days since Russia expanded its war of aggression. Today's podcast looks at events that happened over the weekend and Monday morning. During the podcast, you will find the Russia-Ukraine war map helpful to visualize the areas discussed. A link is in the podcast description. There are updates today. The Russia-Ukraine War Report is compiled by our team from around the world. Today's report includes information from our direct contacts and journalists in Ukraine, the Russian Ministry of Defense, the General Staff of the Armed Forces of Ukraine Morning Reports, Operational Commands North, South and East of Ukraine, Open Source Intelligence, our in-house team of analysts and geospatial experts, and pro-Ukrainian and pro-Russian male bloggers and social media channels with a track record of trying to be accurate. We have one mission, the truth, because the truth matters. Let's start with a daily assessment. 1. Ukraine's acute shortage of ammunition and air defense missiles will become catastrophic by April, and we see no viable path to stabilize the situation. 2. The United States has ended financial and military aid to Ukraine, unless there is an unforeseen event that changes congressional leadership before the 2024 elections. 3. Due to necessity, Ukraine has shifted to a Fabian strategy to wear down Russian combat power while conserving resources. 4. The Kremlin is preparing to complete the transformation of the governmental structure into a dictatorship, culminating after the results of the sham presidential elections are released. 5. While the possibility of an intentional nuclear accident caused by Russian occupiers at the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant remains low, the condition is more serious than what the International Atomic Energy Agency is reporting. 6. Russian-aligned assets have co-opted the ongoing Polish border blockade, which has become an open act of hybrid warfare against Ukraine and the Baltic states. We begin today's war report in the Kupiansk area of operation, or AO, of Kharkiv Oblast. Multiple sources reported positional fighting in the area of Sinkivka. The spokesperson for the Hortitsa Operational Strategy Group, Captain Ilya Yevlash, said that the intensity of fighting was lower, adding that Russia is, quote, resorting to securing positions as they realized that their attacks are currently unsuccessful in this direction, unquote. East of Kupiansk, multiple sources reported that Ukrainian troops advanced in the area of Tabayevka. Russian mercenary mail blogger Wogonzo claimed that Ukrainian troops had not taken physical control of the P7 highway east of the village. Based on the reports, we adjusted the map using terrain analysis and coded Tabayevka from contested to under Ukrainian control. In the Kremennaya of Luhansk Oblast, Russian attacks east of Terny and Yampolivka were repulsed. Near Terny, a geolocated video showed a CV-90 infantry fighting vehicle, that's an IFV, firing on Russian positions at close range. Based on this new information, we moved the line of conflict further east. In the Lysychansk AO, Russian forces tried to advance into Bilohorivka from the southeast. The attack failed, with Ukrainian forces destroying 3 tanks and 2 armored vehicles. We link to a video showing the destroyed armored column in our situation report. There is a link in the podcast description. Let's talk about the Donbas, starting in northeast Donetsk Oblast. In the Siversk AO, a Russian attack in the direction of Verkhnyokamensk was repulsed. In the Bakhmut AO, intense fighting continues southwest of the occupied city. Northwest of Bakhmut, Ukrainian defensive lines near Bogdanivka remain stable. The situation is more difficult in Ivanivsk, where fighting continues, with Russian forces continuing to advance in the southern part of the settlement. In the Klishchivka AO, intense positional fighting continued north and east of Klishchivka, with no significant changes to the situation. East of Andreevka, a Russian assault failed. A graphic video showed that two MTLB armored personnel carriers, or APCs, were destroyed and a platoon of dismounts killed. Geolocation showed that Russian troops had made marginal gains in the direction of the village. There was a small adjustment to the war map. Russia attacked Mirnograd again, striking the settlement with four S-300 anti-aircraft missiles used for ground attack. Three people were wounded in the attack that damaged 17 high-rise apartment buildings, 16 homes, 2 schools, and 3 retail outlets. The center of the adjacent settlement of Pokrovsk was hit by an Iskander-M or a North Korean-sourced KN-23 short-range ballistic missile, also known as an SRBM. Two people were injured and several residential buildings were damaged. In southwest Donetsk Oblast, Russian advances in the Avdiivka AO have been slowed as intense fighting continues. Heavy fighting continued near and briefly in Berdychi, but Russian forces remained unable to hold new gains. Ukraine lost a second M1A1 Abrams main battle tank and an M1150 assault Brishi vehicle. This is the first verified loss of an M1150. Another video showed a Bradley M2 IFV with the Ukrainian 47th Brigade preventing a Russian advance. A Russian APC and supporting troops were on the receiving end of the Bradley's 25mm autocannon. Further south, Russian forces were able to advance into the southern and eastern parts of Orlivka, raising a flag on the rubble of what was the school. In the northeastern part of the settlement, an attempted advance by a squad of Russian soldiers was stopped by drone-delivered munitions. Fighting for control of the settlement continues, and the situation is very dynamic. Russian troops in the Avdiivka coke plant were bombed by the Ukrainian Air Force using French-provided AASM Hammer glide bombs for the first time. Paris has pledged to provide 50 AASM bombs a month through 2024. Southwest of the coke plant, Russian troops also entered the eastern part of Tonenke, raising a flag. Fighting for control of the settlement continued. Fighting in the eastern part of Pervomayske was described as, quote, continuous, and attacks continued south and east of the Ukrainian firebase at Nevelske. Quick assessment. Ukrainian forces have slowed the Russian advance despite personnel and ammunition shortages. A combination of declining Russian troop quality, equipment losses, and unfavorable terrain for Russian logistics is aiding the Ukrainian defense. However, Russian troops are still advancing, and the increasing number of tank losses is likely due to MBTs having to be used closer to the line of conflict as an artillery substitute. The most intense fighting was reported in the Marienka and Vuhledar AOs. Russian attempts to advance into Krasnohorivka from the south failed. East of Georgievka, Russian troops made small but tactically significant gains on the south bank of the reservoir. The map was adjusted. The Russian Ministry of Defense, or Armored, reported fighting continued, quote, in the area of Pobeda. The Russian VKS, that's the aerospace forces, dropped Fab 500 bombs on Kurakhove, damaging 15 multi-story apartment buildings. 16 people were wounded, one critically. The situation has deteriorated in Novomikhailivka, with Russian forces advancing into the center of the village and raising a flag on the ruins. The line of conflict and gray area on the war map was updated, and fighting continued. In the Staromlinivka AO, War Gonzo claimed there was fighting in the area of Novodonetske and Staromayorske. In Zaporizhia Oblast, there was only light positional fighting in the Orikhiv AO. Ukrainian source Deep State reported minor activity near Verbove and Robotene. Ukraine has allocated $34 million for the construction of static defenses in Free Zaporizhia Oblast. A consortium of private companies and rear echelon troops are doing the work, which is progressing quickly. The International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA, released an update on the status of the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant, ZNPP. The 330 kV backup power line remains disconnected, leaving the plant with only one connection for almost 2 weeks. IAEA Director General Rafael Grossi said, "In the history of nuclear energy, this is an unprecedented situation and clearly not sustainable. I remain extremely concerned about nuclear safety and security at the plant." Rosatom told the IAEA that all scheduled preventative maintenance activities on safety-related equipment are suspended until the 330-kilovolt line is reconnected. On February 28, IAEA inspectors heard an explosion some distance away from the plant, followed by what sounded like small arms fire close to or on the site. Russian managers said that measures to, quote, protect the plant against drones were taken, but that the NPP had not been attacked. When the IAEA asked to inspect the area, they were told it was, quote, outside the plant's control. Russia has reinstalled anti-personnel mines within the perimeter fences after they had appeared to be removed in early February. There was no update on boring leaks, water leaks, or oil leaks, if the online radiation sensors had been reconnected, if Rosatom has allowed inspectors to access the roofs of reactors 1, 5, and 6, or if a continuous walkthrough of reactors 1 through 6 was allowed. There was also no update on the staffing situation. In occupied Crimea, Armod reported that 38 Ukrainian one-way drones attacked the refinery in Feodosia, and all were shut down. Crimean Tatar insurgent organization ATESH reported that a pipeline was hit and infrastructure was damaged. Pictures from partisans showed one fuel storage tank had been burned out. On March 2 in Odessa, an Iranian-designed Shahed 136 made a direct hit on a high-rise apartment building, causing severe damage and a fire. Search and rescue operations took almost 36 hours, with 12 people killed, including 5 children, ranging in age from 4 months to 10 years old. Among the dead was an entire family, the retired deputy commander of the Ukrainian 56th Motorized Brigade, Colonel Oleg Kravets, his wife Tetyana, and their 3 children, 7-month-old daughter Liza, 8-year-old Zlata, and 9-year-old Serhii. There has been no resolution to the Polish blockade of the Ukrainian border. Polish farmers and trucks have completely blocked the border with Ukraine, including military equipment and supplies, despite assurances from Prime Minister Donald Tusk that military and humanitarian aid shipments would not be impeded. On the 1st of March, only small groups of farmers arrived at the Lithuania border at Budzisko and made no attempts to block the border. The protesters watched ongoing vehicle inspections by border guards but did not interfere with the process. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky expressed growing frustration, saying during his evening speech, quote, "It is necessary to finally find a solution to the situation on the Polish border, which has long gone beyond both economics and morality. It is impossible to explain how the difficulties that a bleeding country is going through can be used in a domestic political struggle. But we will overcome this." Unquote. Russia intensified its hybrid warfare operations against Moldova, with the Autonomous Republic of Gagauzia reportedly asking the Kremlin for help. Located in southern Moldova, the republic covers about a dozen disjointed settlements in 4 plots, with a population of 20,000 people. Gagauzia governor Evgenia Gutsul accused the Moldovan government of repression and requested commercial air service be established with Russia. It's an odd request, as the only airport is an abandoned dirt field turned into a cow pasture near Chedirlunga, with an abandoned Antonov An-2 rotting by the control tower. If you've ever watched Stranger Things, the An-2 is the single-engine biplane flown by Yuri Izmailov. Fun fact, the VKS still operates the An-2. Quick assessment. There is a power play for Russia, with the Bolgrad-Volkoneshty border crossing to Ukraine located in the Autonomous Republic. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov demanded that Moldova return to the negotiating table following the 5+2 format, which all parties except Russia and Transnistria have rejected. The Foreign Ministry of Moldova rejected Lavrov's statement, quote, "Lavrov and the Kremlin regime have no moral right to school anyone on democracy and freedom. A country that jails opposition politicians and kills them, unreasonably attacks its neighbors, can offer the world nothing but blood and pain. Moldova is a democratic country where freedom and respect for human rights are core values. We are creating a European future in which all citizens, regardless of language or ethnicity, can live in peace and prosperity." Unquote. I've got some breaking news from the Russian front. East of Zvezda in the Samara region of Russia, partisans sabotaged a railroad bridge that crosses the Reka Chapaevka River, setting off a bomb at the abutment. The bridge partially collapsed on the east bank. Damage at the abutment takes longer to fix than a blast at the center of the span. Whoever did this knew exactly what they were doing. The rail line is critical for Russia's war against Ukraine. Just to the east in Chapaevsk are the Promsynthes explosives factory, the Volga Federation ammunition test site, and two large ammunition depots. At the time of recording, no one had taken responsibility for the blast.
You're listening to the Malcontent News Russia-Ukraine War Podcast. Our team of journalists, researchers, and analysts is funded by readers, listeners, and viewers just like you. To support independent journalism, please consider becoming a patron. You can find us on patreon.com at Malcontent News.
Here is my theater-wide update. In February, Russia launched 356 Iranian-sourced Shahed drones at Ukraine. We maintain our previous assessment that the combined production capacity of Iran and Russia is between 350 to 400 drones a month, with February in line with the 8-month average. There were only two large-scale Russian missile attacks in February that used 46 cruise missiles, 6 Iskander-M or North Korean-sourced SRBMs, 2 Zircon missiles, and 4 KH-59 guided air-to-surface missiles. We're unsure why the number was so low and why Russia didn't conduct a large-scale missile attack between February the 23rd and the 25th. The spokesperson for the main Directorate of Intelligence for the Ukrainian Ministry of Defense, Andriy Yusov, reported that Ukraine had started serial production of its own versions of the M113 APC, MaxPro MRAP, and the Humvee Infantry Mobility Vehicle. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz vowed that the investigation into the Russian leak of secret talks among members of the German Ministry of Defense would move quickly. On Friday, Russia released a recording of Bundeswehr officers discussing various scenarios for using Taurus cruise missiles and how Ukraine might use them, including attacking the Crimean Bridge. German defense officials confirmed that the recording of a WebEx meeting was authentic, but could not rule out if, quote, the recording had been edited, unquote. The Minister of Defense of Germany, Boris Pistorius, called the release of the record a, quote, hybrid disinformation attack, meant to cause division and, quote, undermining our unity. Italy withdrew its empty air defense system from Slovakia after the one-year lease expired, saying that, quote, it is needed elsewhere. The Prime Minister of Slovakia, Robert Fico, said that his country's, quote, strategic facilities, in particular nuclear power plants, will be left unprotected. United States news agency CNN reported that a U.S. House-led package of military assistance for Ukraine would be put on the floor before mid-March, with a vote no earlier than April. A draft copy of the bill that Speaker of the House Mike Johnson claims is being created has not been released. Time for another visit to the land of mobics, mobilization and mir. Russian sources reported that the chief intelligence officer of the Española Brigade, a volunteer group of self-declared football that's soccer for our American listeners, hooligans had been killed in action. The brigade was formed in 2023 and has since been integrated into the Russian intelligence service-led private military company Redoubt. Joining him are five more Russian senior officers killed while fighting in Ukraine. Colonel of Reconnaissance of the Russian Army Andrei Kolpakov was killed in action somewhere in 2023. His death was first reported on February the 24th. Lieutenant Colonel Anvar Sagidulin was killed in action in Ukraine in February 2024, but we don't have any other information. Additionally, the Russian Officers Killed in Ukraine project confirmed that Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Chernobrivy, the deputy commander of the 43rd Sevastopol Separate Naval Attack Aviation Regiment, was killed in action during a missile strike on Saki military airfield on January 5, 2023. Russian sources also confirmed that Lieutenant Colonel Roman Kozhukhov, the deputy commander of the 155th Separate Guards Naval Infantry Brigade, was killed on February the 27th in occupied Olenivka by a rocket attack. And one more. Colonel Gusey Musayev, the commander of the 36th Separate Guards Motor Rifle Brigade, was confirmed killed in a rocket attack on the Russian training ground in occupied Trudivske. Putin's purge continues. The Wall Street Journal reported that in the fall of 2022, Russia used citizens fleeing to avoid mobilization as cover to send security and intelligence officers to the European Union and the Americas. The Russian agents are under orders to hunt down traitors, and an analysis found that 51 Russian businessmen have died under unusual circumstances on three different continents. On Sunday in Moscow, thousands paid respects to deceased Russian politician Alexei Navalny. Hundreds gathered outside the cemetery in the morning, chanting "Open up!" because Russian officials initially refused to open the gates. The cemetery was eventually opened and then closed at 1700 Moscow time. People continued to throw flowers over the fence of the cemetery, with the stack completely covering the gravesite. Medusa and Important Stories found documents showing that Putin had issued a secret decree to create, quote, political commissars within the government structures of Russia. Political commissars are a throwback to the Stalin era, where deputies for socio-political work made sure that workers and their families adhered to government principles. This is the same function of political officers and the blocking troops they run within the Russian Federation Armed Services, but controlling civil servants. Putin signed the decree in February 2023, although it is unclear how much work has been done to implement the order. Russian sources claimed that all private military companies in Russia have suspended recruiting. Impacted PMCs include Uranus, Convoy, Elite, and the remains of PMC Wagner, now reporting to the Rosgvardia. Existing members in the PMCs reported that any previously agreed to leave was cancelled. While the exact motivation is unclear, the Kremlin appears to be winding down the numerous private armies they helped form in the spring of 2023 to counter Wagner Group. Technically, under Russian law, private military companies are illegal formations. In Belgorod, a performer in a Superman costume was rebuked in a mall for supporting, quote, American values. Well, Superman does defend truth, justice, and the American way. The incident was caught on video while the Superman actor was making balloon animals for children. A man demanded, quote, "So it doesn't bother you that here there are NATO superheroes and there is a protective structure from bombing. Do you agree that this is unhealthy? Let management know that this is not acceptable." There was no word from the United States if DC Comics planned to sue the man for the unlicensed use of a Superman costume. Maybe the man complaining should watch Superman Red Son. He might feel better about Comrade Clark Kent after. And that's what we know. Your support of my home, Ukraine, helps us make history and protect the future for all.
You've been listening to the Malcontent News Russia-Ukraine War Podcast. To help keep us independent, please consider providing financial support by becoming a patron. Want on-demand news in your hand? Download the Google News app and make Malcontent News one of your favorites to receive breaking news updates. Thank you for listening.